Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. King Leopold's Ghost by Adam Hochschild is a narrative history that investigates how the Congo Free State became the personal colony of King Leopold II of Belgium and how that project produced immense wealth for Europe alongside catastrophic violence for Central Africans. Blending political history with biographical storytelling, the book follows explorers, missionaries, reformers, and officials who helped build, sustain, expose, or resist Leopold's regime. Hochschild reconstructs the mechanisms of conquest, the rubber boom that intensified forced labor, and the international propaganda that framed exploitation as humanitarian progress. Just as crucially, the book traces the early human rights movement that challenged Leopold through journalism, eyewitness reports, and organized activism. The result is a vivid account of imperial ambition and its human costs, with attention to the moral choices of individuals and the power of public pressure. It also raises enduring questions about how atrocities are normalized and how distant suffering becomes visible to the world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building a personal empire in the Congo. A central topic is how Leopold II engineered an imperial project that was formally distinct from Belgium, while still benefiting European investors and prestige. The book details the diplomatic maneuvering and public relations that allowed him to present himself as a benefactor devoted to science, civilization, and anti-slavery efforts. Through carefully crafted associations, conferences, and pledges, Leopold gained international recognition for control over a vast territory in Central Africa. Hochschild emphasizes the administrative novelty and moral hazard of the arrangement. A king personally owning a colony created incentives for rapid extraction and secrecy, rather than accountable. Governance. This topic also explores the roles of explorers and intermediaries who mapped routes, negotiated or coerced treaties, and laid the groundwork for infrastructure and authority. The Congo becomes an example of how modern empire could be assembled through paperwork and publicity, as much as through armies. By showing the gap between declared ideals and real intentions, the narrative explains how a project marketed as philanthropic could quickly become a machinery for exploitation. Secondly, the rubber boom and the machinery of terror. Another major theme is the economic engine that turned conquest into mass suffering, the global demand for rubber. As rubber became crucial for industrial expansion, Leopold and his agents imposed quotas on villages and treated people as a labor reserve to be managed through fear. Hochschild describes how hostage taking, punitive expeditions, and the destruction of communities enforced production targets. The violence was not random but structural, tied to incentives, reporting systems, and profit expectations. One of the most discussed aspects is how brutal enforcement practices became routine within a hierarchy that rewarded results and minimized scrutiny. The topic also addresses the social consequences: famine, displacement, collapsing family structures, and demographic catastrophe driven by overwork, killings, and disease spread under coercive conditions. By connecting commodity markets to local terror, the book clarifies how distant consumers and financiers could be linked to atrocities without seeing them. The rubber economy thus functions as a case study in how extraction regimes can transform a landscape into a labor camp and normalize cruelty as a business tool. Thirdly, propaganda, denial, and international complicity. Hochschild examines how Leopold sustained control through sophisticated messaging and by exploiting the difficulty of verifying events in a remote colony. This topic focuses on the creation of a humanitarian image that appealed to elites, governments, and the press. By funding institutions, courting influential figures, and shaping narratives of progress, Leopold blunted skepticism and framed criticism as misunderstanding or political hostility. The book also shows how competing imperial interests complicated responses. Other powers had their own colonial agendas and were cautious about condemning practices that resembled their own. Limited access, censorship, and the intimidation of witnesses further slowed international reaction. Hochschild highlights the challenge of turning scattered testimonies into credible public knowledge, especially when authorities dismissed African voices and demanded documentation that the system itself made hard to obtain. This theme underscores how atrocity can persist when perpetrators control information and when outsiders benefit from the arrangement indirectly. It also illuminates the moral compromises of institutions that preferred stability and profit over accountability, demonstrating how denial and selective attention can function as active enablers of violence. Fourthly, witnesses, investigators, and the birth of a reform movement. A defining strand of the book is the emergence of an international campaign that challenged Leopold using evidence, media, and organized pressure. Hochschild profiles missionaries, travelers, and officials who documented abuses, often at personal risk, and who struggled to make distant suffering legible to European and American audiences. The movement relied on reports, photographs, parliamentary debates, and new forms of advocacy that resemble modern human rights organizing. key reformers worked to corroborate claims, counter propaganda, and maintain attention over years despite fatigue and political resistance. This topic also shows tensions inside the campaign, including strategic disagreements, the need to persuade skeptics, and the ethical complexity of outsiders speaking for Congolese victims in a world that discounted African testimony. The narrative illustrates how moral outrage had to be translated into actionable politics through alliances, fundraising, and relentless publication. By tracing these methods, the book provides a history of advocacy before the term human rights became common, and it demonstrates how persistent, evidence-based campaigning can eventually force governments to confront uncomfortable facts. Lastly, legacy memory, accountability, and the long shadow of colonial rule. The book does not treat the Congo Free State as an isolated horror, but as a foundational episode with lasting consequences. This topic explores how the structures built for extraction and control shape later governance even after Leopold lost his personal dominion. Hochschild encourages readers to consider how colonial borders, administrative practices, and economic patterns can outlive the regime that created them. Another aspect is historical memory, how Belgium and the wider world remembered or minimized what happened, and why some narratives of empire remain celebratory for so long. The topic also addresses accountability, asking what it means when immense suffering produces wealth and monuments but limited justice. By following the aftereffects in public discourse and national myth-making, the narrative shows how societies manage inconvenient pasts through silence, euphemism, or selective commemoration. The Congo story becomes a lens for broader questions about reparative responsibility and the ethics of benefiting from historical violence. Readers are left with a clearer sense that colonial atrocities are not only events of the past, but forces that shape present inequalities, political instability, and debates over historical recognition. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a gripping, well-researched account of colonial Africa, the global economics behind empire, and the origins of organized humanitarian reform. Students of history, journalism, political science, and international relations will find it especially useful, as will general readers looking for narrative nonfiction that connects individual lives to large systems of power. The book's value lies in how it clarifies cause and effect. Diplomatic bargains enable private rule, commodity demand intensifies coercion, and information control delays accountability. That understanding can benefit a reader's life by sharpening media literacy and ethical awareness about how suffering can be hidden behind uplifting language, distant supply chains, or institutional self-interest. Compared with many books on European imperialism that stay abstract or narrowly academic, Hochschild delivers a story-driven approach that still conveys the mechanisms of exploitation and the hard work of documentation and advocacy. It is worth buying because it pairs vivid biographical portraits with a clear explanation of how reform movements build credibility and momentum. The result is a memorable framework for thinking about power, complicity, and the possibility of change. If you would like to support Adam Hochschild, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.